Open your Bibles, if you will, to John 18. Like I said, thank you for being here today. I'm going to preach today on a on a topic that is that every one of us need. It doesn't matter if you have been a Christian for years, or if you're relatively new to Christianity, or if you've actually never taken the step of trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith alone. It is a subject that is very basic to Christianity, yet it can still be a struggle for every one of us. But I promise you, if you get this subject and you improve on it, your life will get better. It will help. It'll help your marriage. It'll help your parenting. It'll help your friendships and every other relationship that you have. In order to introduce this subject properly, I've have you open your Bibles to John chapter 18. Take a look down at verse 37. Of course, this is Jesus Christ before Pilate. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but we're going to go ahead and cover it. In verse 37, it says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou then king? You know, they've been going back and forth and talking back and forth about why he's brought up before Pilate and all that's going on. And they've finally gotten down to this point in the conversation. Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So Pilate saw the truth, and again, there was nothing wrong with this man called Jesus. Now, the truth would be a great subject to, you know, to launch on, but that's not the subject that we're here for this morning. Continue in John chapter 19, if you would. Take a look at verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucifying him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Take a look down at verse 12. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whoso maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. So Pilate, time and time again, ignored, you know, this truth, and because he wanted to make the people happy. Bad choice. Take a look at verse 16. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Take a look down at verse 28. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that he might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him should not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Again, bear with me, because now we get obviously to the good news in John chapter 20. We get to the resurrection. Look at verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Down in verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Take a look at verse 11. But Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Jesus Christ was innocent, sinless. In fact, he was perfect, yet he died on Calvary's cross anyway. And then, of course, he arose from the grave. Amen? And then he ascended to the Father. And, you know, we look back and we know why, but, you know, why did he do that? Obviously, the whole purpose of the crucifixion and the resurrection was so that you and I could find forgiveness. Amen? Which is the title of the message here this morning, forgiveness. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for an opportunity to be here on a Sunday morning. Lord, your people have gathered, and you know our hearts. You know what we need, Father, better than we even know ourselves. But Father, we are so grateful for the forgiveness that we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that it might, just be brought to our remembrance of just what a great gift this was, and just what a great price you paid for our salvation. We love you, Father, and we pray that we might follow you in your footsteps in this thing that we're talking about here this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgiveness. When Jesus Christ shed his blood on that cross, listen, he made it possible for you and me to be forgiven. Amen? We were forgiven by God. If you go back to Luke, and you don't have to, just a couple of verses, I'll read them to you. But if you go back to Luke, Luke adds a couple of things. It says in verse 33, when they were come unto the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. All right, Jesus Christ had one main purpose for hanging on that cross. Amen? Jesus Christ's purpose was to forgive you and me for our sins. What is sin? Well, according to 1 John, it is a transgression of the law. Whomsoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law, right? Have you ever told a lie? Yeah, right? Everyone knows we're not supposed to lie, says, right? Exodus 20, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy brother, right? You're not supposed to lie. Have you ever stolen something? Right? Stealing, transgression of the law. Not supposed to do that. How about from work? You say, oh, I've never taken anything. How about time? How about time? Listen, I had a government job. And there were times where I would have considered myself lazy. Now, I didn't dishonor or disobey my boss. If the boss asked me to do something, certainly, you know, I honored that request and tried my best and, you know, did, I think, a pretty good job at it. But we were in a little different situation. We worked in a situation where we were very self-directed. A lot of times we were on our own. We worked, of course, I've told you, rotating shifts, and you're working all hours of the night, and sometimes you're on that switching from back and forth from days to nights, and you're up till 2 or 3 in the morning, and you come into work the next day, and you don't even know what day it is in the week half the time when you're on that type of schedule. And the main reason why you're there is in case something breaks, you're on hand, right? So you're there, you're at your appointed place, and you're ready. If the phone rings, da-dum, you're there. But there's also a whole list of maintenance tasks that need to be done. And those tasks, we as the crew, you know, would individually pick those tasks, or as a group pick those tasks, and we'd go out and do them. Well, there are some times when I remember being at work, in fact, quite a few times, you're sitting there at, you know, let's say 11 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night, and it's dead and there's nothing going on, and you've been on this crazy schedule and you're beat dead tired, and you look at the maintenance list and there's some, you know, an antenna maintenance that's coming due, and you realize, okay, that's going to have to get done at some point in time. And the reality is, you could go out and do it right now, but it's snowing outside, it's cold outside, and you look at yourself and you go, you know, it's really not due for another month and a half. Next week, we're going to have 2 or 3 guys in. I don't think I'm going to go do that right now. Yeah, there's times where I was lazy like that. I did. And again, you count that as stealing time from your boss. Well, maybe I could have been doing something. Right? So there's sometimes you don't think about things in the right way. Sometimes you don't think of sin as deeply as maybe we ought. That's the way sin is how do you handle things when nobody is looking? Amen? When no one's pressuring you to do it. You don't have to do it. No one's looking over your shoulders. Listen, Jesus Christ said on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? Listen, you can hurt somebody by saying the wrong thing at the wrong time and not even know it. Right? Husbands, you can make a half-snarky remark to your wife and you can hurt her. Wives, you can say in your heart about something your husband, you know, said or asked, well, who does he think he is? Who does he think I am? And maybe that doesn't come out in the outside voice, but it's going on in the heart. What is that? Well, that's a rebellious attitude. That thing wells up in all of us from time to time. We're all guilty of that from time to time, right? You know, rather it's meek and quiet and inward, or rather it actually slips out in the outside voice, we're all guilty of falling into that trap. You know this verse in 1 Samuel 15? Rebellion is what? As the sin of witchcraft. And then it adds this. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. But I know that none of you have ever been stubborn. Right? Me either. That's where lying comes in. Listen, you know what we need for those things, ladies and gentlemen? Just as much as a seasoned veteran Christian, just as much as a lost individual who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I mean, we need forgiveness. Amen? Hey, how about bad thoughts? Bad habits? Bitterness? Gluttony, the one the Baptists all hate. Cursing God? Oh yeah, sometimes people get mad. Unthankfulness? How about disobedience to parents? How about not loving your neighbor? It says in Mark, right? You know the scriptures. The scribe came, having heard them, and you're supposed to love your neighbor. I had anticipated some folks being here that aren't here this morning, so I'll skip some of the verses. But the second, Jesus Christ talking about the commandments. What is the great command? Of course, the first one is to love your God, right? The second is like, namely this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Amen. Now listen, we've got some great neighbors next door. They've been very generous with us and you know, all our kids, and chasing balls into their yard, and you know, and we've tried to be good neighbors to them, right? As it should be. But I know all of us have probably had at some point in time in our lives that neighbor. Right? You've experienced that one that was almost impossible to live with. Like I said, this is in no way against our next door neighbors. They are great. I love them. They're phenomenal. But you guys all know what I'm talking about. That neighbor, and you know, you just didn't really want much to do with them. Ever occur to you that maybe God wanted you to love them? Hey, that's a tough one. Right? Ever occur to you there's a sin not to love them? Here's another one that we don't often think of. Knowing to do good and not doing it. James 4. Knowing to do good and not doing it. That is a sin. Listen, you mean I can sin against God for not doing something? Oh, absolutely. It goes a lot deeper than what you think. See, we tend to think of sin in terms of our own opinions, right? Our own perception. There was a little boy. That little boy walked into his kitchen and he was talking to his mom. And he looked up at his mom and said, "Mom, Mom, I discovered something." She said, "What is that?" He said, "I am 6 feet tall." She kind of chuckled. And she said, "Well, how did you come to that conclusion that you're 6 feet tall?" He said, "Oh, that's easy. I took my shoe and I measured myself and I'm six shoes high. And right, I'm 6 feet tall." And his mother kind of chuckled. With a smile, she said, "You know, I love you, but your shoe isn't really a foot long." And he got this puzzled look on. He says, "But Mom, it's got to be because my foot goes in it." But by that definition, he was 6 feet tall. Sometimes we use the wrong standard when it comes to analyzing our own sin, right? Let's just say that God's foot is a lot bigger than you and I expect. Amen? Sin is a very deceptive thing. There is the alligator snapping turtle. It's the largest species of a freshwater turtle. Males typically weigh between 155 and 175 pounds. It's said at one point in time that somebody claimed to have found a 400-pound alligator back in 1937, but we're not sure if that's verified or not. But nonetheless, these guys get pretty big. Yeah, that's a big turtle. They're found primarily in the southern United States. They're carnivorous, of course. While their diet is primarily fish, they've been known to eat almost anything. They can occasionally even eat small alligators. Those turtles are reptiles, but they spend most of their time in the water. They say they can hold their breath for like 40 or 50 minutes. I wouldn't even need scuba tanks for that. Right? I mean, can you imagine every breath you take, you can hold it for 40 or 50 minutes? That's one tank of air would last like forever. So they go down, kids, they go down there and they settle down at the bottom of the lake or the river. And they lie completely still. And what they've got in their mouth, they open their mouth. And what they got, you see that little, let me take my glasses off so I can see it. My glasses are for close-up stuff. You see that little appendage there at the end of his tongue, that little red part. You guys see that? So they go down under the water, and they sit on the bottom, and they can hold their breath for almost an hour. And they open their mouth really wide, and they take their tongue, and they take that little red spot in there, and they just kind of wiggle it just a little bit. You know what it looks like? It looks like a worm. How many of you guys fish? You ever use worms? Guess what the fish do? Huh, a worm. So this fish goes over, sees that little tongue wiggling in there. This fish goes over and starts to check out that worm. And then wham! Snapping turtle. Now you know why they call him a snapping turtle, right? It's deceitful. It's deceitful. That turtle jaws close rapidly. And that fish is caught. And listen, he can't get away. He can't escape. Now, you saw how big that thing was, right? They say that they have about nearly 1,000 pounds per square inch of pressure when they close down on their prey. Now, to put that in perspective, a Bengal tiger has 1,050 pounds per square inch. So you're underwater, and you got this Bengal tiger, in essence, chomping on your leg, or a fish. Let's say a fish. I don't want to scare you from ever going in the water again. Listen, that's how it captures you and me. That's how sin captures you and me, right? It looks appealing. It looks harmless. It looks fun, but it's deceptive. There was a general back in Civil War, Nathan Bedford Forrest, and he was a Confederate general. He was leading his troops from north, from Decatur, Alabama, towards Nashville. But to make it to Nashville, he had to pass through the town of Athens, Alabama, which had a Union army in camp there. There was an army, and there was also a Fort Henderson, and the Union army was there. On the 23rd of September in 1864, Nathan Bedford, General Bedford Forrest, he launched an attack, and he chased the Union army out of the city to capture the city, and the army retreated back and held up in the fort at Fort Bedford. So that first step of his journey had been taken care of. Well, the next day, on the 24th, General Forrest started launching a brigade of cannon fire, just you know, endless against those forces that were in Fort Bedford, and he stopped the barrage for a little while, and he called to the commander that was in the fort. The commander in the fort was Colonel Wallace Campbell, and so General Forrest called Colonel Campbell, and he asked him, "Would you surrender? Would you give up? Would you surrender? Obviously we've got you defeated. Will you surrender?" And Campbell refused to surrender initially. And then General Forrest asked him, he said, "Let's hold on. Under a truce, can we meet in person?" And the colonel said, "Sure." So the colonel came out, and he met with General Forrest, and General Forrest then proceeded to take him around and show him his army and his artillery. Now, the thing that General Forrest did is he would go over and he would show him this group of men and all these artillery batteries and all these cannons and everything. And in the colonel's mind, he's a colonel. He's smart. He knows military tactics. He's been down there counting, going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then General Forrest would take him over to another, group of men and show him this group of men. Meanwhile, the colonel's already counting 12, 13, 15, 19, 24, 28, 32. While that was happening, that group went to another location. And then General Forrest took him over to the other location and counted them, unbeknowingly, again, 50, 60, 70, 80, while that group over there began moving to another location. Then we went over and we visited that location. By the time this whole thing was said and done, the colonel had counted like 10,000 troops. And an artillery battery that there was no way he was going to make it out of the battle for. And you know what he did? He surrendered. Now, if I remember right, I read a lot of different things. I think General Forrest only had a little over 2,000 troops. But the colonel was convinced he had 10,000 in an artillery battery that was way more than he could defend with his, 900-ish people inside Fort Henderson. You say, what is that? It's deception. Amen? That's a deception. That's what's left of the fort. It's just kind of a monument. They've tried to forget about it, how history is now. Colonel Campbell returned back to that fort, and he was convinced there is no way I can defeat this guy. That's what Satan does to the Christian. Amen. He likes to defeat you by deception, right? He makes sin appear much, much better than it really is. Just like General Forrest made his army look much bigger than it really was. Just like that snapping turtle, that alligator snapping turtle, takes that little appendage on the end of his tongue and kind of wiggles it around and makes it appear like something it's not. Listen, Jesus Christ is not like that. Amen? He's not like the devil. He doesn't deceive you. He offers you forgiveness of sins as a free gift. It says in Ephesians 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You know the verses. It says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hey, listen, for those of you that are married out there, have you ever had a time where your husband or wife messed up? I know my wife hasn't, but for the rest of you. You ever had a time where your husband or wife messed up and you got to a place in your, in your relationship where you said, you know what? It's okay. It's all right. I forgive you. Listen, you know that you were in the right and they were in the wrong, but you forgave them anyway. Why? Because you loved them. Amen. Amen? You were sad about the mistake, but your love was even greater than your sadness. I hope that's a regular part of everybody's marriage. Amen? That's what Jesus Christ did for you and me on the cross. His love was greater than our mistake. His love was greater than our sin. Listen, if you want that kind of forgiveness, you need what the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer. Right? I know that most people here are already saved and born again. But if there's anybody watching who's not, listen, you need to believe that God loves you that much. That he died for you. That's why he died on the cross for you. Shed his blood to forgive your sins. That he was buried. He rose again the third day. And that he offers you that forgiveness as a free gift. Amen? He offers you that forgiveness as a free gift. Listen, if you genuinely believe that, and you're sincere about your belief in that, the Lord Jesus Christ will forgive you today. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, today is the day you need to realize just how much he loved you and go to him the best way you know how and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. You're right and I'm wrong. I know that you love me enough to die for me. And I believe that you died on that cross, that you were buried, that you rose again the third day. And I'm asking you to save me from the devil and his hell. Amen? If you're lost here this morning, you're watching this and you're lost, listen, you need to have that conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ from the depths of your heart to the ears of Almighty God. And the Lord Jesus Christ will look down there and he will say, yes. He's not deceptive like the devil. It's not a trick. It's not a trap. It's not like the alligator turtle, snapping turtle, right? It's not like General Forrest. It's a pretty good move, by the way. The Lord Jesus Christ is straight up, honest, up front with you. Hey, here's the truth.
Amen.
And all you have to do is believe it and accept it and go to him and tell him you want it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right? Hey, if you've never done that, I would encourage you today, make that your priority. I promise you, he'll hear you. Amen? When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, not only are you forgiven, this is very quick, but you are forgiven forever. It says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, right? Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In Bible terms, we call this eternal security. You guys are very familiar with that. What does that mean? It means your forgiveness is good forever. God doesn't take it back. If your heart is in such a state where you're willing to reach out and ask, he'll give it to you as a free gift, and that free gift is yours for eternity. You never need to worry about God's wrath on sin anymore.
Amen.
Because yours will have already been judged. You are forgiven forever. It says in Colossians 2:14, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Amen.
That's what happened to my sin, ladies and gentlemen. That my sin, everything that I have ever done, everything that I will ever do in the future, all that sin got taken away and got hung up on that cross and nailed to that cross. I don't have it anymore.
Amen.
It's on the cross. He bore it for me. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, the sting of sin, of death is sin, the strength of sin is a law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there was a father and a son, and they were traveling down the road, and you know they were in the pickup truck driving down the road, and the son was younger. He was a young boy, and a bee wound up getting in the window, was flying around in the cab of the truck, and the boy was petrified. I mean, just absolutely petrified. Because he happened to be very, very allergic to bee stings. And they were driving down the road, and the father saw the bee, and the father reached out and grabbed that bee. And then a few seconds later, the father let the bee go and started flying around again. The son started freaking out. Dad, why'd you let the bee go? Why'd you let the bee go? And the father told him, listen, son, relax. Calm down. And then he turned and he opened his hand, and the stinger of the bee was in his hand. That bee can't hurt you anymore. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me on the cross. He took that sting away. And you know what? That bee can't hurt you anymore. Right? We are saved. We are saved. We are forgiven forever. He is the intercessor that has mediated between us and God the Father. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And death's sting is gone. The sting of sin in eternity is gone. I get it. There's still you reap what you sow in the flesh. We're not talking about that. We're talking about eternal things, right? So because God forgave us, and because he's forgiven us forever, we ought to then forgive one another. It says in Ephesians 4:32, And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I realize the depths to which the Lord Jesus Christ has actually forgiven us, that should make us very willing to forgive others. And listen, you folks are great at this here. All honesty, you guys do a phenomenal job. It is a privilege and a blessing to pastor a church like this. Quite frankly, keep up the good work. But you know, sometimes there arises an issue that is kind of hard to forgive. There are some things, and Ricky, this is one we talked about. There are some things that, brethren, are very difficult. So again, this one doesn't go. You think about the family that we sent out a prayer request for. I don't know if I could do it. Hey, forgiveness is tough sometimes. Right? I know what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. I know he took the sin of the whole world on his shoulders. And I know, I can't even imagine what that must have been like to have every single sin that was ever committed by any man, woman, or child for the course of 6,000 years so far placed upon you all at once. I you get something like what's happened to this other missionary family that we talked about where the husband was killed. That'd be easier to forgive, in all honesty. I don't know if I have that faith. I don't know if I have that strength. Listen, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and leaning on Him for that kind of grace is the only possible way that you can ever get to that place where you can forgive something that tragic. I know that we've talked about, and you use this as an illustration before, but it bears repeating. You talk of Richard Wurmbrand and Harlan Popoff, a couple of guys back under communism and behind the Iron Curtain. One was in Romania and one was in Russia, I believe. And how they went in and they described the torture that they were subject to day in, day out, day in, year after year. How the guards continually starved them and beat them. And how if they got, you know, they would have to stand staring at a bright white wall with a bright light in front of them and just stand there for days. And every time they closed their eyes or started to fall asleep, they'd be beaten. And those guards would come in if they caught them talking, if they caught them trying to preach or exhort one another as Christians, those guards would come in and take the pastor or the preacher, drag him out and begin to beat him again. And that thing went on day after day after day. And he's relaying what's going on in this prison and the heart of the prisoners that are in that kind of circumstance, and how a preacher would stand up and begin to preach, the guards would catch wind of it, and then would come in and grab him, take him out and beat him, and he'd be gone for hours being tortured and beaten. And then be brought back and thrown back in the cell. And it would take him a little bit of time to recover. He'd manage to gather his strength together. And then he would get back up as soon as he could. And he would say, now, where were we before we got interrupted? And what these men testified to in that scenario and in those circumstances is how that those prisoners who were faced with that kind of torture had the ability. The grace from God came down on them in a miraculous way. And they had the ability and the willingness to forgive their captors over and over and over and pray for their captors. The very people who are beating them. A lot of the prison guards wind up getting saved because of They would look at this Christian in there, and they would know what they're doing to him. They would know how they're torturing him. How on earth could you possibly forgive me? And the Lord gave him the grace to do it. Hey, that's a special grace the Lord gives His children when they need it. I'm a chicken. I hope I never need it. Because in my mind, when I think of what some of our missionaries are going through, I may have to start a jail ministry. But the point is, the Lord grants forgiveness far beyond what you and I can even comprehend. Right? His forgiveness is eternal. All of that becomes because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our example. That's our pattern. That's our charge. And I get it. Sometimes you and I are in a position in this world where we look at something and we can't see it because it doesn't compute. And in an earthly sense, it doesn't. But the Lord is notorious for taking people that are in that kind of position and giving them something, brethren, that I hope none of us ever have to experience it. I mean, it's like a toss-up. In my flesh, I don't want any of you to have to go through something that severe where you would have to count on that kind of grace from God. On the other hand, wouldn't it be a blessing if we all understood that kind of grace of God personally? But you don't get one without the other. Like I said, I'm chicken. I'm content to know that it's there if I need it. But I promise you, if you and I ever get to the place where we need it, it'll be there. It'll be there. Why? Because our God is a good God. Our God is filled with grace and mercy and patience. And He knows more about forgiving in His little finger than you and I would ever even experience in 100 lifetimes down here on this earth. But He's our pattern. He's the one that we should aspire to be like when it comes to this subject of forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
I'm done. Wrap things up. Simple principle, basic Christianity. Forgiveness. We are forgiven by God. That was accomplished through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That forgiveness was forever. We have eternal security. And ladies and gentlemen, because of that, you and I are commanded, we're instructed, we're directed to forgive one another like Christ forgave us. Amen? It's a chore. It's a challenge. But nobody ever said your Christianity was going to be easy. Let's try to have that kind of forgiveness. I know what the devil's like. He's like that alligator snapping turtle. And he'll dangle the bait right out in front of you, but he's just waiting to snatch you down and hold on for dear life and never let go. Let you and I not get caught in that. Amen? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for an opportunity to be here on a Sunday morning. Father, you are a great God, a merciful God. And you, Lord, are certainly filled with forgiveness and grace and mercy more than us mortal beings could ever understand. But Father, we do ask that you would give us a glimpse of those things. Help us to see more and more of that as we continue to grow and continue to strengthen ourselves in the Christian life. Father, we pray for the missionaries that are on the field, that are having to endure and experience some of the things that are going on. Lord, on one hand, the fight in us wants to stand up and just fight every ounce that we can, every ounce of our being against that. And Father, I'm not even saying that's wrong. But I know this, whatever the case, you give everyone involved the grace, the mercy, to be able to go through whatever this world can throw at us, whatever the devil can throw at us. You're greater. And I don't understand how always, and I don't understand why always, but I know it's true. Help us to rely on that. And Father, help us to never forget this one little principle in Christianity called forgiveness. It cost you your life. Father, help us to honor that with our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.